Berwick Honda celebrates Labor Day by transferring vehicles. It may not be all usual holiday bells and whistles, but the showroom is in need of more product. So it is time to fill it up with a transfer from the warehouse that houses CRVs, Odysseys, Fits, and more.
Every day is labor intense for Rorick Honda as they work hard to get customers the perfect model, color, and sanitized vehicle quickly. Thank a Honda rep and enjoy a holiday hot dog. As always, visit Rorick.com for all of your vehicle needs. And now we start the Jagoff podcast, which is the fourth stop in the J&D Waterproofing Porch Tour for 2020. And we are at the home of Melanie Taylor of Star 100.7 or 100.7 Star.
100.7 Star. And her neighbor's mowing his lawn.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define the word jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway.
Jagoff!
Or someone scares the out of you.
Yeah, jagoff!
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, jagoff?
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Larry Richard.
This is Gavin Wildbill.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle.
Hi, this is Rocky Blair.
Hey, it's Rick Seaback.
Hi, this is Greg Brown.
Hi, I'm Tyler Kennedy.
This is Santonio Holmes.
And this is the Jagoff Podcast.
So here we are, and we won't say where we are because we're on Facebook Live.
You already did, but we're not going to give the address.
Yeah, we didn't give the address. We're, as far as you know, we're in Munhall.
If you Google Melanie Taylor's house, it's going to come up.
Yeah, right.
And we have to give a few thank yous, right? Because this porch tour was hooked up, considering the fact that we didn't know what to expect. We never had a pandemic porch tour before. So thanks, of course, to our title sponsors, J&D Waterproofing. And also, we have to say thank you to Taddy Bogle Cider. Because down there in the Laurel Valley, not Laurel Gardens, they gave us cider for every house. It's been delicious, and everybody has toasted cilantro every single time. We've had a great experience with that. To Fathom Pub Sauce, listen, that stuff goes on everything. I mean, I don't mean to take a page out of the Frank's book. You said that's what they say, right? But it is so true. So we're giving those to our guests as well. And thanks to Ernie Ritchie Sausage, who provides, makes us look good because he provides all the sausage and buns for every party.
So during the podcast, this is where we always talk about what was on the blog on yajagoff.com. And
talk about them.
We had our standard, what we call hashtag block blocker, where someone in up by the Robinson Township North Fayette line on 376, that is where it's the king of block blockers are, where they pull, they think they're more important than you, so they pull through the red light, the intersection, and when you get your green light to cross over, you can't go because they're stuck. And then you beep at them and they give you the finger as if they're, you're wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
John did them all this time, just so you know, because my kids are back to school virtually. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
I didn't write this week.
And Jamie gave us one.
Jamie Harbaugh.
Mylar balloons. It wasn't really like a jagoff move, but it was kind of just funny because almost a dozen Mylar balloons stuck up in this huge Duquesne light tower, and the Duquesne light people didn't know what to do with it. And all I know is, like, you know, when you give those balloons to your kids, you like need to tie them really.
We don't. My husband, that's a no-no in my house.
Right.
My husband.
I never took him in my car either.
So. Talk about the ATM today.
And the ATM. So I hate it when people go through the ATM. You get your money. Just go. You don't need to put your wallet back, your driver's license, check your lipstick, check your hair, whatever. Just go, pull off to the side and let somebody else go.
And that's also if you are in a drive-thru at Arby's, McDonald's, Wendy's, any of them. Just go. Just get your stuff and
put your money down on the console. You'll pick up the quarters later with your french fries.
That's it. All right. Sean, what's going on, brother?
Sean from J&D Waterproofing, our sponsor. Sponsor of the fireplace tour, the porch tour. What's up, Sean?
How are you guys doing? Doing very well, and wished I was sitting there enjoying right by that swimming pool over there.
Doesn't it look amazing?
Oh, it does. Yes, it does.
I'm telling you. Well, you're going to have to talk to Melanie at some point because you were here before, and you gave her some really good advice when you were spraying that stuff that J&D has where you make everything look bad so that you can come in and make everything look good. You know how we always joke that you guys have some kind of like little weird seasoning or something that you drop on and you say, oh, it looks like J&D has to come back out here. Right, Sean?
Absolutely. It's that magic touch. And I know she would like to get a deck and some different things done. So we're going to get out there and give her an estimate and take good care of her.
Well, Sean, we were going to take a picture of the pool and tell you that's water in the basement. Kind of give you a Woody.
Yeah, we would not do that. I swear, Sean.
You'd be like, that much water, I'll be right out.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Now, Sean, you know, we always try to keep it timely when we're doing the fireplace tour. We talk about winter repair and things like that. We're kind of coming out of the decks in the pool houses and the additional additions and those kinds of things. But number one, waterproofing is always a thing, correct? And what is that go-to fall project that everybody's going to be clamoring for?
Well, here's a couple of things. Number one, fall season is when you really want to get prepared and get ready for if you're having any water or foundation issues. Once the temperature starts to freeze and gets colder, the expansion inside the cells of the block starts to freeze and can cause cracking and hydrostatic pressure on there. So if you're going to get it, and this is our wet time of the year anyway, September, October, November,
True.
You're hitting a wet time of the season. And you want to be prepared because the Farmer's Almanac is calling for a lot of snow this year. So
yes.
You don't want all that water building up in your block if you already have water in there.
Yeah, I know.
So
that's a good point.
And this is the time of the year that you definitely want to get that taken care of, because if not, you can end up having more issues. Secondly, this is a great time. We have some great deals going on, you know, with our home improvements. Interior work right now is something that people should be getting prepared for right now. Kitchen, bath, game room remodels and things of that nature.
Okay.
You know, with our 81 years of experience, you know, and the fact that we deal with so many manufacturers, which separates us from a lot of companies, because a lot of companies deal with one or two just manufacturers. But this allows us to be able to offer our homeowners the best quality and the best price for them for their home needs.
Nice, Sean.
We can attest
well
to that,
done.
That's for sure.
Well done. Well, Sean, thank you for a great summer of porch tours. We really appreciate it. And hello to J&D, right?
And Sean, absolutely. Listen, we're going to make you a care package since you couldn't be here, and we're going to send it to you. How's that?
Yes.
Ernie Ritchie's sausage sandwiches.
Oh, you could send me a whole thing of those. I love those. But I would like to thank you guys for allowing us to be a sponsor again this year. We enjoy working with you guys. We enjoy being part of the podcast and looking forward to continuing our wonderful, great relationship.
Awesome, Sean. Thank you very
You're
much.
You're the best, Sean. Thank you.
All right. Thank
you.
So real
what are we
quick.
Because you just brought Melanie and
yeah,
Jason over.
Just real quick. We have to talk to our homeowners. There should be two microphones there. There we go. Yeah.
Jason, you were eyeing them up.
Yeah. What do we got in front of us here? What is this?
Take a guess. Because you have knowledge behind this.
I mean, it's got to be some sort of beer, probably from a local brewery.
It's not a beer.
No.
What else could it be?
Could be a cider.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Cider. All right.
Taddy Bogle Cider. So, John, this is a crazy story. This guy, this company kept following us on Instagram. We're like, this is great. This cider company is following us. It turns out he worked with John years ago and is like, hey, I want to send stuff.
We all got laid
store.
Off at the same time. I started a blog and a podcast, and he started a really successful
cider company.
Yeah. So anyway, so we just wanted to say hi to you because we know you have things to do to welcome the guests. But Jason and Melanie, this is your house. We're not saying where we are because we're on Facebook
welcome.
Live. Right? So, you know, thanks for having us here. But Melanie, we know you're coming back here because Bubba's coming. There's
going to
be a Bubba sighting.
There is a Bubba sighting. I can't even believe it's happening because he never drives outside of his South Hills area.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm very impressed that it's going to happen, right?
So we're still not convinced. Maybe it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Well, we appreciate you. So you get Ernie Ritchie sausage, you get Fathom Pub sauce, you get this cider from Taddy Bogle, and we're going to have to go hang out up at Taddy Bogle up in Laurel Mountain.
Absolutely, let's go.
Yeah. I have to try this because, listen, I'm not a cider person. I said this on every podcast. It was so good. It's not overly sour. It's not overly sweet. You're going to like it.
I'm going to give it a try.
All right, cool. So
all
the people on the guests this week are Ryan Mill, public address announcer for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yes. Yes.
And we have Michael coming up shortly here from California.
He's in New York now, but he's from Pittsburgh.
Right. And CMU graduate and all that stuff.
Nice. Central Catholic boy.
Oh,
wow.
That
was a really good whistle.
Yeah. That was good. Yeah. And a little surprise because, I mean, America's Got Talent right here on this porch. How about that?
We have
Ashley Marino.
Yeah.
Pretty
so, all right. So awesome. We're going to hear a little music from Ashley Marino right now, and then we'll bring in our first guest, Michael.
Saving it.
So our first guest is, we are coming out of listening again to Ashley.
Yeah.
And this right to the thing. And all of a sudden we get notification from a friend of Michael's. And we're like, his PR guy. And we're like, yes, we need to do this.
No, that's not, you're confusing it. Guess what happened? Our friend Bobby Cherry told him about us. And guess who got the email? Not you. Me.
That's because you and Bobby Cherry are tight.
Yeah. So basically Bobby, our friend Bobby, reached out. It went to spam. Somehow I was checking my spam folder, found it, and we connected, but it went to spam again. So he was like, hey guys, I'm waiting for you. I mean, which you'll learn, Michael, the more you become friends with us, you wait for us a lot. And we don't mean it, but we have crazy lives. But we appreciate that you waited, because my gosh, you have a story to tell. I mean, you have some big news with something that's coming up here in Pittsburgh. But first, tell everybody your story. You're a Central grad, as we said, and you went to CMU. But I think your claim to fame for Pittsburgh is right now is the fact that you were with Carrie Underwood on The Sound of Music when they were doing those live Broadway shows. Is that right?
Yeah. That was actually the first live production they did in a long, long time. And they revamped it, and it was on NBC. And yeah, Carrie Underwood starred in it. But I think you hit the nail on the head. I think the main thing to get across to Pittsburgh is like, check your spam folder, because you probably have an email from me in your spam folder, especially all the Pittsburgh schools and theater departments. Check your spam, because you have an email from the collective. So thank you so much for bringing that up.
Oh, you are so welcome, please. And talk about that. So it's called the Collective Group, right?
Yeah. It's a new theater company for middle school kids and high school kids. And we do everything from pre-professional work for kids who really want to go to college for this or pursue any professionalism in it. And also kids who just love to be on stage and love to act and sing and have a space to do that. And Pittsburgh, I mean, is the choice, because it's so alive with theater culture, right? There's so many different companies and organizations. And that's what I remember most from being in Pittsburgh growing up. It was just how in love with theater I was. And this program really came out of, I didn't really have a mentor or anything. I went to Central. I heard some cat call for Central Catholic. I loved that. But
listen, before you go on and give Melanie any credit, I went to Mount Alvernia. So let me tell you, I love Central Catholic.
Oh, look at that.
I do. I'm telling you, those all girls' school girls, we loved Central Catholic. It was us in Oakland.
Oh, yeah.
Who
went to Oakland.
We're always clamoring for the guys at Central. But, you know, we have these little gems. I mean, Ashley Moreno's here right now, right? We have these little gems of people who were born and bred here with this amazing, whether it's musical talent, or don't always get our just due, because we really are rich in the theater and the arts, especially like you said, CMU, my goodness. What was that moment for you? And it sounds a little cliche, but when did you know that it was going to be theater and acting and all things production? Like, I mean, were you young and you said, this is where I'm going to go? Or did you watch an actor?
Yeah, that's a really amazing question. And thank you for asking that. I think that's really why I started this program, is the spark really came from, I was in theater in high school and I was really doing it just for fun. And then I won a Gene Kelly Award, which is the High School Musical Theater Awards, in 2008. And then I was like, yes, you know what? I actually have the confidence to do this. And it's just such an intimidating industry, I think. So that's what I really want to bring back to kids, is that just like an athlete trains, actors have to train so hard, right? It's a really challenging industry. And that mentorship is really when I get back. I think that a lot of people right now think like, oh yeah, this is the formula to get to Broadway or on TV. And there really is no formula, right? It's not like go to this perfect school, go to anything. It's really doing the work and the skills and the exercises. And that's kind of what I want to teach the kids.
Okay. And what does that, I don't mean to monopolize, it's just, this is sort of my jam. you know, just to throw a couple things out there that you've been a part of, the Cher show. I mean, my gosh, like, I didn't even tell my mother this because I can only imagine what that's going to be like. You really have experienced a lot. And, you know, we're typical Yinzers. We're so proud of our Pittsburgh people who can go on to do things like that.
Yeah.
So talk to us about, it almost becomes a process, right? Like you aspire to leave our big little city to go to another city that has more opportunity. But then, just like you're doing, you somehow have that drive to come back and give back to where you started. Is that sort of the same formula for you?
For sure. I mean, there are just things that, you can't know about New York and the business and LA and TV and Broadway unless you're just in it, right? It's just constantly changing. It's constantly growing. And I'm still doing all of it. I mean, I was doing a TV show right up until quarantine got paused. And right before that, yeah, like you said, I did the Cher show on Broadway and I did Wicked on Broadway. So not to brag, okay. I'm not trying to flex over here.
You're just, not bragging. Just, you did it, bro.
It's just a process, right? And I've learned so much through that successes, but I've also learned so much through my failures. And I mean, I've been in New York 8 years, right? And so there's so much that I really want to say to young actors and give them that chance to, if they want to pursue it, or even just the benefits of just acting and what that can do in high school. Like my best friends are literally still my friends from high school, my high school theater department. So there's just so many benefits in it in general. And what I really love about this program is that it really takes time and gives kids a really safe space to grow and make a lot of just different choices and just new techniques, right? I think that's the thing about acting is like, people are like, oh, it's just singing and dancing. It's so much more than learning your lines, just learning songs. There's just such a huge process to it.
Now, Michael, the space where you're going to do this, where is it and obviously with the pandemic, there are going to be things, but tell us a little bit about where this is going to happen.
It's going to be at the Andrew Carnegie Free Music Hall, and that is in Carnegie, PA, 5 minutes outside of downtown PA. So we thought it was centralized enough to really include all areas of Pittsburgh. The great thing about this class is that it is going to be live in person, and there's only going to be about 6 students per class. So we are going to be socially distanced, and I've definitely created the program to keep it extremely safe. I think safety is number one. And I think the thing is, too, it just gives kids a creative outlet as well, right? I want to do it in a safe way, but I also want kids to have a physical outlet and a creative outlet. Because I love Zoom teaching. I definitely believe in it, and I definitely think you can learn through Zoom. But I just want to still give kids that ability to, you know, like, be in a community and just kind of share and create.
Where do I sign up?
Yes. So you can definitely visit our website, www.wearethecollectivepgh.com. And then we're on all socials at wearethecollectivepgh. There's plenty of time to sign up and plenty of time to get in touch. I'm offering a free 20-minute consultation to just meet you and your kids and talk about any goals you have or anything more about the program. And that is going to be up until the week of the 14th when we start class. So it's going to be an intense theater program, which I really love. Intense in a great way. Intense of the fact that these kids are going to be learning. It's honestly like a little mini Carnegie, right? Because I am a teacher of my experiences. So I teach everything I learned from Carnegie and everything I learned in my experience in New York. And LA and Pittsburgh, and it's just an accumulation of everything I've learned. So I've created a curriculum that's 8 weeks, and I think it's going to be very fun, challenging, and I just know these kids are going to grow and love it.
I love it.
I love it too.
All right, so
glad I found him.
Yes, thank you to Bobby Cherry for this. So we have a question of the day now before we let you go.
Let's hope this damn audio works, right? All right, question of the day. So this is basically the unofficial, you know, they say, excuse me, that what Memorial Day is the official or the unofficial start of summer, and Labor Day is the unofficial end of summer, which makes it kind of sad. But what is going on in your life that you want to be you want to have the unofficial end to? Like, I'm thinking COVID. I'm going unofficial end to COVID or virtual learning. Oops. Did I say that? What's your unofficial, you want something to be done with, Michael?
Listen, I need them to stop creating streaming services because I buy them all. And they need to accumulate all of them into one. I mean, it's just cable again, right? If we just like have all them, but like HBO Max came out and I was like, I'll get it. Mine. Yeah.
That's really funny.
This needs to stop. I feel like I heard PlayStation's coming out with one. It just, we gotta stop this.
All right. Unofficial end to gaming and watching and streaming for Michael.
Funny.
I love it.
Yeah.
Michael, thanks again. We can't wait for everybody to check out your program. We certainly hope that this goes far and we get to keep you as a treasure in Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Maybe I'm your weakness. Maybe I'm your strength.
All right, so everybody, this is Ashley Marino, and from Kennedy Township,
Okay, good.
And Anyways, just fresh off of your little visit to AGT.
Just a little
and
visit.
Still
huh?
skyrocketing career because you're not even, what, how old are you?
I'm 13.
Yeah, right. That's ridiculous because I don't. When I was 13, I was probably still picking my nose.
Eighth grade.
And enjoying it, flicking it.
Wow.
That was it. So, but Ashley, tell us a little bit about, for those who don't know you, tell us a little bit about, you've been on the podcast before. You've been performing for how long?
Well, I don't know if you know this, but when I was around like 3 years old, I was obsessed with Justin Bieber. So that's when it all started. I just like was singing like Baby by Justin Bieber. Like I interrupted my aunt's wedding and just started singing it.
How did your aunt feel about that?
They were, well, it wasn't during the ceremony. So.
Like, oh, okay.
Like,
good.
Okay.
It was during the reception, I think, but like everybody was just like weird out like, where is that singing coming from?
So you have 10 years in. I mean, you're 13 and you already have 10 years into your craft.
Yep. Well,
yep.
When I was like around like 7 or 8, I really started to like take vocal lessons and really like invest my time into singing. So that's really when I started.
So Ashley, what I really like, and Rachel and I just talked about this earlier today, is that when people get famous on certain styles of music, like they do something smoky with their voice, or they do like, so like the Monkey song right now, Dance For You, whatever. It's like a fake voice. But what I love is that the voice we hear talking is the same voice that actually sings.
That's such a good point.
Natural.
Do you know what he means? Dance, monkey, dance.
Yeah.
I hate that somebody, because now all the people that are your age are going to think that's the way I should sing. I should sing like this.
Yeah.
But instead, you sing just like your voice sounds, which we know, again, from the songs we're hearing today
yeah.
and the songs that they can find. You have an awesome voice.
Thank you.
So.
And even more than that, because obviously you're trained, as you said, you've had vocal lessons, you've put a lot of time into it, a decade, right? But what I admired, especially seeing you on the stage, you know, we were all cheering from you from here. But when I saw you on stage, your posture, your poise, your confidence, it was almost like, mm-hmm.
Especially when it
listen,
got tense.
Listen, Simon, I'm good, bro. And
right.
You were like, I will go back and I will get this song down pat. Is that what it was really like, or talk us through what that moment was like? Because I think there's no way your career is not going to skyrocket from that moment.
So hang on. Just let's explain to everybody in case they yeah. don't know. On AGT, tell everybody what happened.
Well, I first auditioned and I went on stage and I sang a couple cover songs. And Simon Cowell and the other judges agreed that they didn't really like it for the style of my voice and they thought that I could do way better. So they gave me another chance to come back with a new song. And I had under like an hour and a half, an hour, 2 hours for the next show to go. So that's when I was going to go.
So that's, it was really that tight. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So I was like, what song am I going to do? I have no other backup songs. What am I going to do? Because I sang my backup song whenever I was performing. So we were going through a couple songs like, I don't know this song. I can't remember these lyrics. I know I'll fluster myself on stage. So I was like, why don't I just sing one of my own songs that I know? So we were just practicing it and I went back up on stage and I sang that song and the judges were wild and they gave me 3 yeses because Heidi wasn't there, but
right.
Hopefully she'd give me a yes if she
yes.
was there.
I'm sure she would. That's
all
a
of
no-brainer.
Pittsburgh was like,
yeah,
oh,
we
know?
Were fighting.
Cause
like,
you were the
Simon.
Closing segment right before Father's Day and you sang a song about your father,
yeah,
which was like a home runner right there. You know, it was amazing. Yeah. So,
thank you.
So that's really interesting. So the experience that we saw was very tightened, obviously within an hour, but really in real life, it was really tight. Like we had to
yeah.
go figure this out, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I would assume that has to be the most cutthroat experience you've ever had, right? Like where you are up against and all these other talented people. Does that do anything at 13 to kind of like rock you a little bit? Or how do you stay focused to not look nervous? Because you didn't look nervous.
I feel like I come off as a very confident person, but like really like in my head, I'm like, okay, I got to do this. We're going to do this. We got to breathe.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I think I like kind of want to show it a little bit that I'm more confident so that I feel more confident. That's like one of the big things that I see. Like people, like they seem like they're really like nervous and that's how they show that in their body language. But if you show like you're confident in your body language, you'll be more confident mentally.
It's funny because I was a paramedic and when I delivered my first baby, everybody said the first baby that comes out, act like you've done it 100 times, act like you've been there before. Right. And that's what you did. You acted like you had been there before. Like, you know, this is not, and everybody knows that Simon can rattle people, and there was no sign. Internally, you might have been bubbling up like crazy.
Yeah, but I definitely was.
Yeah, that's funny.
Is there some kind of body language or ability to kind of lock eyes with some of them where you can kind of read what they're thinking or what's about to happen? Because I know, I'm sure you've been judged before, but is there some kind of like, this is not going well?
Well, I'd say not really like eyes. I pay attention to eyebrows because that shows most of the
mine are awful right now.
Like it shows off the expression of what they're thinking. So that's, I kind of like notice that. But most of the time, I don't even look at the people and I just try to distract myself with something else in the room.
That's a great point. Now, who taught you that?
My mom told me not to look at anybody because it'll make me more.
That's so true. Yeah.
But like me, I just gravitated towards like the eyebrows and the eyes because it just really shows what they're thinking.
Sure.
Okay.
Did you make any friends while you were there?
I definitely met a lot of acts and I thought they were amazing. I saw them all practicing. It was really, really cool. Like just being backstage. Like I've never really like been like in a backstage of like a TV show other than like the extras that I've been in or like the other TV shows that I was on. But this was more like a live performance stuff. So I was so like amazing. So I definitely met a bunch of people, but I didn't really get the chance to like really, really talk to them.
Sure.
And I really wish that I had more time to do that because it was all like time crunch.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Is it like it looks then where you literally have this little bit of space to kind of just do your thing and practice, meaning backstage?
Oh, yes, it is. So, well, practicing, it takes over months like for the show. And obviously for me, since I had to go back with a brand new song, I only had an hour and a half to get like figure out what I was going to sing for like millions and millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
That just made me nervous just hearing it. Yeah.
Guys, come sit down.
Yeah, let's bring in your mom.
Because, listen, mom to mom, were you about to punch somebody? Because, listen,
Martha,
sister.
You want to go here?
I was, let me tell you my experience with Ashley on AGT. As I'm watching, I'm thinking.
You guys could cheer that.
Knowing what it's like to have that, having children and knowing what it's like to get on stage and speak, let alone do what she did. You had to have had that proud moment where it's like, she's up there. No matter what she does at this point, that girl is up there and she is owning it. I mean, she truly exuded that. So kudos to you guys. But what was it like when you saw that happening? You know, because I was trying to like tune into you, like slap them, just tell them this is it. Right.
Yeah.
So what was that like?
I was very nervous for her.
Sure.
You know, I mean, for her, but. At the same time, I was like, this is not happening. This is not happening. Because I was expecting for them to be like, yes, honey, you're good. You know, go to the next round, just like a normal. Or being like, no, thank you. You're not ready yet. Maybe come back next year.
Right.
So you sometimes you think about that, and that's not what I was expecting at all. So that was like, oh, my God, what am I supposed to do now? Because I'm basically her coach.
Sure.
You know, her mother, her coach. Everything for her. So I'm like, what am I supposed to do now? I was so nervous. I was like super, super nervous.
Oh, yeah. And Mark, you look like you were doing the Ashley thing. You were pretending like you weren't nervous. You looked pretty good there. You look, you didn't, no sweat on your brow or at that point.
No eyebrow issues with you. So tell us what you were thinking.
Well, you know, we didn't. They did. Simon Cowell did this one time last year to a little girl. Ashley didn't realize it. Nina and I had talked about it. Man, I hope he doesn't do something like that. And then, of course, our worst fears came true when he did that. But then he took it to another level this year. You know, with that, like when the little girl last year happened, she just sang another song right there and he put her through.
Right.
You know, this was, he stopped her again. So not only once, he stopped her twice.
Yes.
And that wasn't even it. Ashley didn't say it, but like, you know, her backup song was actually another song. So the second song she sang was actually her third song, which we never thought in a million years she would really sing.
Right.
Because the day we got there, it was a Demi Lovato song. And I guess she was in the news, bad PR that day or something.
Sure.
Like, we don't want you to sing that song if it happens. And they're like, so what's your third song? And we're like, oh, okay, well.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then he had her sing it a cappella.
Right.
No doubt. Yeah. Yeah.
So when that happened, I had to bring the coach and the student back a little bit. The life, you know, they kind of took everybody downstairs, which is like their production room, and they've got their music people there, that you work with. And,
Yeah, I had to kind of pull them back. I had to give the old Notre Dame, you know, speech. That, hey, they want this to happen. They want this to turn out right because it's a television show.
Yeah, and, that's
right.
A good point.
You know,
sure.
If it doesn't go right, they just won't even put it on the show because right. That's one of the things that people aren't realizing. You know, they have, I would say we predict, when we look back at it, probably only of the people that actually audition on the show that actually get to go out to California for it. So this is not, you know, you got hundreds of thousands of people across the sure. world that actually audition to try to get on the show. And then they select a certain amount of people that they actually mm-hmm. bring to California to put on in the production. But even those people, there's probably only 50% that actually make the television
right.
show
right.
when they show it.
Wow.
So I said, look, you know, if it goes wrong, they're not even going to show it. So they want this to turn
yeah.
out good, you know?
Yeah.
So it was pretty amazing. I mean, so I got them back in charge, but it was a little frustrating because, you know, kind of knew, you know, Simon wanted her to sing a boy song when she came back. And, we just knew that she wasn't going to learn a song within an hour, hour and a half.
Right.
Yeah, so for sure. Yeah.
I had me to say, hey, you know, she's got some original music as she said it. We showed them. They were like, nah, it's not going to work.
And you're
so
like,
they proceeded to try to, you know, do like Justin Bieber, Shawn Mendes, Maren Morris, Dan and Shay. I think it was like four songs they tried and was, go ahead and try. And then it just kind of came full circle.
Right.
They were like, what was that first song you showed us? And I was like,
of course. Right. Now let's go back.
Ended
yeah.
Up, ended up going down and they're unbelievable. The music people that they actually created, like, cause then, you know, that song she had released before she hadn't practiced in like 6 months, like because we had no, you know, idea that she would sing an original. You know, they never gave any, you know, you practice so many songs and you
sure.
send it to them in advance and then it, for licensing reasons or for somebody else's singing or whatever it is, it comes down to these songs, you know, that get approved. So they never approved any of those songs, but they had to take a 3 minute and 15 second song and cut it to two minutes something,
wow.
you know. Right
sure.
on the spot,
sure.
give it to her. The guy played the piano. He created the track
in
listening to it. That's how talented
yeah.
he is. He's recording it while he does it. Gives it to us on the phone. drops it. We go upstairs. She practices for, you know, 20, 30 minutes on it. They're like, you got to go. You're back up. Because they wanted her to go first on the second
wow.
set. Basically, what it is the first session, second session. But they got that all teed up and exactly.
Oh,
the
I was
going to
say their ratings
the
were waiting.
So
for
we're
you.
Throwing them yeah. like what do they call that in football? An audible.
Oh yeah,
yeah. yeah.
So they're like, we want you to go out first. So you got to get out to the stage. So we get out there, and then there you got. You know, this is a big production. You got 3,000 people in the stands. You got Simon Cowell standing right next to us, Sofia Vergara, all these judges, you know.
Yeah.
And they're like announcing them coming out and the crowd's going crazy. And, you know, we're just kind of sitting there hearing this and we're next. You know? So it was more like a boxing championship fight for me, especially.
You come out exhausted. Huh?
And, you know, they said, I can't believe you didn't cry with that song. And I was like, well, it was a very intense situation.
Yeah, right.
Very emotional.
I thought he looked too. I was like, look at that. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you actually met my expectations because I didn't want you to come out and be like, oh, it's all canned.
And I had
and
heard that
die.
Song before, you know, obviously, because I said she had had that song for maybe
sure.
a year before that.
Sure.
It was one of her songs. So, you know, that was a thought. I was like, man, I needed my eye drops.
yeah. So, So let's pin you down to a tough question. Where do you get your, we don't know where you get your poise from. Where do you get your music talent from, your mom or your dad?
Neither.
Okay.
Well,
do either one of them sing well in the car?
My mom doesn't even try.
Okay.
My dad thinks that I got my voice from him, but little do I know now.
That is so funny.
He tries to sing country with the accent.
Oh,
and everything.
That's a no-no.
That's
yeah, for sure. So we're excited because we actually get to hear you perform. We want to get you in before the rain comes because obviously we're in Pittsburgh. But we have to ask you guys the question of the day. So first of all, where does everybody find you? How can they follow you? Figure out what the heck is going on with you now because it's amazing the things that you're doing and they need to see what you're doing. So they follow you on social media?
Well, I have basically all social medias. I have Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all that stuff. And it's under I am Ashley Marina with no spaces.
Okay.
And it's everything.
TikTok? Are you a TikToker?
I also have TikTok. Okay. But I post, like, my dancing stuff, and there's, like, some old, like, things from, like, 2016.
Okay. Old. She said old at 2016.
I know.
Well, older stuff from 2016. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
So there's some stuff on there like that. That's funny. I am Ashley Marina as well.
Okay. And we have to ask you, what's baseball like for you? How's that holding up?
It's really good because, we just won our championship.
That's awesome.
And we got a gold medal.
He's like, you can talk about winning AGT.
Listen,
I won a championship.
You're like, oh, for goodness sake. Yeah. Let's talk baseball.
When are you getting to me?
Yeah. I love it. Well, congratulations. So is baseball season over now?
I love it.
Yeah, we're going to start fall ball.
Fall ball. Okay. Not soon enough, right? Okay, so we're going to take a little break so that we can listen to Ashley. But before we do, we want you guys to answer this. We said, you know, this is Labor Day embarks on what they say is the unofficial end of summer. What do you want to unofficially end? And I gave my examples of COVID and virtual learning. But you guys can tell us whatever you unofficially want to end. What?
The coronavirus.
Okay. Yeah.
Going back to, I want to go back to school.
We're on the same page.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
What's three?
Get rid of the rain.
Okay. That's a good one.
We literally have had so much rain for the past few weeks. Like, my lights went out for like 12 hours straight.
Oh, my. Wow.
Nice.
Mom and Dad, do you have one? What are we unofficially ending, Mark?
Anything different than what you said. It's
yeah,
hard,
she's
it's hard
good.
To say anything else other than those.
Yeah.
You can agree.
Because they're dealt with. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, I hear you.
Yeah.
Just really like the...
Yeah. Move on.
Get out of 2020. Can we jump to 2020?
Right.
I hear you. I hear you.
So as we get ready for Ashley to sing, this is why we're here, because as we're recording this podcast, you guys are recording your morning show. Are we allowed to say that?
Oh, yes.
Because
yeah.
It's already happened.
Because he said it.
It is. It's called the End of Summer Porch Party.
Okay.
That's what we're doing.
What a creative name.
Yeah, it's an EOSPC. It's an EOSPC. You know
right.
what that is.
No.
End of Summer Porch.
And we thought it was cool to bring your former boss in. Ryan Mill is going to be in.
Yes.
Here, right?
So I haven't seen.
If he yells at me, I'll be so sad.
He won't. I haven't seen him in a long time.
You don't know he won't.
I know he won't. I feel it.
You know, Ryan.
I feel it.
He'll probably yell at me.
He knows Ryan more than I.
Okay.
I met him, 1998.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Mike Sorg says hi, by the way, in my headphones.
Nice.
Yeah. He's our tech guy.
He's the best. He is wrestling.us.
Oh,
right.
Why do we have to talk?
How did you not know that it would become a wrestling thing?
All right.
Did I get that right? I hope I did.
So Mel, tell us what a big, this is an earth shattering event to have Bubba show up. Right?
Because he says I live in Egypt and it's way too far to ever travel to my house.
Well, listen, Mel, tonight was kind of like purgatory getting here.
You going where? Wash
Raver. If I could ever get back to work, which would be great.
I packed the lunch.
It's 35 minutes in the morning.
Yeah,
that's
well,
bad.
At your
right
time
down
in the morning,
Route 51,
right?
35 minutes. Yeah. So.
See, I need a nicely chip chopped ham sandwich and a bag of Fritos to get here, and a Propel water.
Same,
right?
And John to not be mad on 51.
Oh, red lights just make me so angry.
It was almost a Depends drive.
At our age, you might be right. So, listen, I want to explain this story real quick.
Okay.
So, because we have to be real tight, because you guys have interviews you have to do,
and we have to talk to you guys for our porch party too.
So. Here's the deal is many, many years ago, we had this group of people where we started. We had the Quinn and Banana breakfast at my house.
Okay.
And
Banana
Bubba,
Don just retired on Friday.
Is that right?
Get
and
out.
Bubba was their producer, the guy that, you know, took all the lashings.
You were a producer?
And whatever and all this kind of stuff. And we made t-shirts, the Quinn and Banana breakfast. And just the other day, this man pulled out. So we think that's probably, it has to be 30 years ago that t-shirt was made. And he texted the Quinn and Banana.
You're going to tell the whole story that I texted all three of you. And I said, one of you is going to be very, very excited about this picture I'm about to send. And John's like, well, I know it's not going to be me.
Yeah. And Melanie voted me.
And I'm like chuckling, like, it's the only person's even going to know what this is
it's
you.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I was at my mom passed away in October and we're selling her house and there's some furniture still there. So I went over there the other day and I opened up the drawer and there was like there was like all kinds of stuff that she had saved, I guess, in drawer, like when I played like Little League baseball shirt and all that stuff. And that shirt was in there.
God bless your mom.
Unbelievable. And that shirt was in there. I was so
It was
blown
meant to
away.
Be for you to come to Melanie's. That's what that
See?
Meant.
And that,
yeah.
that was my was omen from
sign?
God to
yeah.
drive to Ross Straver.
Ross Straver. Ross Straver. Egypt.
Sel Vernon.
Ross Straver.
Yeah. The Sphinx is right behind us. Yeah.
I knew John. Listen, I you know a nice little show note, and he had to start with that story.
Yeah, exactly. Quinn and Banana. Quinn in and fact, Banana. My oldest daughter's named Quinn.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. After Jim Quinn?
She's a staunch conservative.
Absolutely. Absolutely nothing to do with that. So when I got pregnant with my second, the running joke was, is her name going to be Banana? And I was like,
Oh wow. God.
Oh,
that is
no.
like, a, that's,
I did not
even as a dad,
her.
That's a terrible dad joke.
I know.
Yeah.
It, was it wouldn't even happen. Listen, we're going to do a little quiz with you guys because.
No, oh God.
Oh, wow.
I've had, she said, no. some adult beverages, but
that's okay.
All right. Well, here, we thought because you're the host.
Yeah.
And because you guys are always the ones asking the questions.
Okay.
You know, we theme this. We have an America's Got Talent person here.
Yes.
Like, so excited.
Seriously, does it get any better than that?
No.
And then we have your old boss here.
I know.
Right?
It's like, but he's a friend, but ooh, it is, he was my boss.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of everything that has to do with our porch tour. So, we were going to send you off, but we're not going to do that. We're just going to have you answer for each other. What would Melanie say?
Okay. Yes. Oh God.
All right. So here's the question.
I bet you I know her better than she knows me.
Who would her favorite America's Got Talent judge be?
It would have been Howard Stern.
Oh, that's right. But he, okay. So
is he right?
Do I say yes?
Is he right?
You can answer.
Right. Yeah. All right.
But who is it really current?
I'd say probably Howie Mandel.
Yep, because I read his book. I gave it to his wife.
Come on now.
Yes.
Come on. Yes.
Come on.
All right.
Okay. Got a friend Frizzy. Come on.
All
come
right.
on.
So
come
now
on.
You right. can ask a question.
All right. What is who is Bubba's favorite Penguin player?
Oh. And this is in the Ryan Miller.
Oh
category.
My God. Well, he named a dog after one of the former players, Fleury.
That'd be true. Yeah. Is she right? Favorite Penguin player of all time?
Yeah. I have a dog named Flurry.
Okay. All right.
That was really good. You guys are good.
I'm so excited.
Listen, this is good. You might have to come on our Valentine's show.
Yeah. Right. We
were.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. What is Melanie's? So we had this Michael Campaigno on, right?
Okay.
Central Catholic guy, went to CMU.
Got it.
Was on, he was with Carrie Underwood on the musical Live on NBC.
Okay.
That was, what was it? And now I'm drawing a blank. Sound of Music.
Sound of Music.
So what is Melanie's favorite Broadway play?
What is Melanie's favorite Broadway play? Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a really good question.
I don't think you know this.
So I'm going to go with Kinky Boots.
Oh, wow.
That's up there, but it was Rent.
That's a good one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't always think of
See, I was going to ask you the same question, but I think I know what the answer is. What is Bubba's favorite Broadway play?
Fiddler on the Roof.
Ooh, wait a second.
Is it?
I was going to say... When you see a guy reach for stars in the sky, you can bet that he's doing it for some dog. When you see a John standing on the range, you may say he's insane. It's only a John could be for Jane. When you see a Joe.
Okay.
All right. Why did she cut me off? I was having a moment there.
Okay.
But you know
she's not allowed to do that in the studio. Cause
yes,
you're over there by the front.
But I could also sing If I Were a Rich Man in Hebrew.
If I Were a Rich Man. Da-da-da-da-da.
Oh my God.
I don't think we have the rights
That's
to that,
thing.
So we have to say no, right?
The Hebrew version of If I Were Rich Man, you don't have the rights to that?
Listen.
Are there even rights for that?
Saul Markowitz.
I was just trying to get out of you singing it.
Saul Markowitz can do it too.
Oh my God.
He really can. Remember, Colin? He could always sing.
Yeah.
Anyway, still doing it.
How are we getting confused?
So,
four questions
Ernie
in.
Richie, I know, and I'm not even drinking. Ernie Richie's sausage, because obviously we have that.
It's in the
do
house.
You, would Bubba want it? Like, nice and clean, or could it be soggy? Like, can the sauce be in there and he pick it?
Like,
he's a soggy dude?
No.
Oh.
100% wrong. I grabbed it, and guess what? I had to drip off all the extra sauce, take off all the peppers and onions.
No way.
Wow. No way.
Failed.
Yeah, that was
Do you see the others?
Correct.
Do you want to go next?
Yeah. No, go ahead. If you have one, I was trying to think of a different one, but go ahead. You, if you have
all right,
one, go
Bubba,
ahead.
What would Melanie's most wanted home improvement need
what
be.
Would Melanie's most wanted home improvement
yeah, you
be?
Can ask.
Well, she got rid of her bees. Okay, so
I
there's
did.
Not
you,
that.
Can, you can see
oh,
those up
great.
On my top.
Yeah.
I had carpenter bees.
What
okay.
would be her? Well, she does have a pool boy. His name's Jason. So
wow.
She
yeah. Oh, I have no pool boy.
Oh, do you know?
Did he win?
Did he all the bricks are falling apart?
She just went like this.
All the bricks were falling.
Wink, wink.
No, I swear, no wink, wink.
It's the bricks.
It's I need cement or something.
Melanie, you definitely need something.
Here's a question for Bubba. Who is Bubba's favorite neighbor? In his neighborhood, who is his favorite neighbor? He must talk about that at work all the time.
He talks about he doesn't know any of his neighbors. Nobody knows them. He doesn't know his neighbors. Lou. Oh. Lou Schinozzi.
Well, I do like Lou Schinozzi. Oh.
That's the only one that I know that you reference
my
pretty
favorite
regularly.
Neighbor. I don't know any of my neighbors, but I'll go with Lou.
Okay.
Lou actually.
Lou's a good guy.
We have to now. We have to decide what was it that made Bubba show up? Was it the Abby?
It's
Abby
Bubba
Cider.
It's
was
me.
It Rachel? Yeah. Was it the sausage? We don't know. We have to find out.
I have no idea.
You want me to answer?
Do it.
Stay tuned next week.
Ah, there you go.
That's typical. Right. Yeah.
Coming up, we're going to talk to Ryan Mill, Pittsburgh
Someday
Penguins.
When I get older, you walk me down that aisle.
And we welcome to the podcast, Ryan Mill. So, anyways, welcome back to the Ajaga podcast. You were in the BR days before Rachel.
Yes, true.
When we were doing some videos.
Yeah.
And now the podcast is kind of a lot bigger than we could ever thought. And Rachel and I are partners. And now we get to have you back.
So it was Rachel's fault for making it bigger. You were merely holding it back, John.
There's no question.
Okay, I got
she
it.
Walked in the door and the whole thing exploded.
Oh, please.
No question, yeah.
She's
please.
Like, if I could just get rid of John.
Yes, we've had those discussions.
Unfortunately, he has the copyright on the name.
Well,
gotta keep him around.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I've noticed there have been attorney bills accumulating in the business account, so I know maybe that's what
Ryan.
It is.
he can't help himself. I'm such a pleasure to meet you. Yeah. It's so cool whenever you have that. It's like being a kid, right? I never really knew what you looked like. I mean, I guess I could Google. Right,
well, yeah, but I think I'm on the Google.
You're on the Google? Yeah. Okay.
I wouldn't do it from here. I don't think they get the Google all the way down here.
They don't. The Wi-Fi sucks, I promise. What do you do when we're hearing your voice, when we're, the pens, oh my gosh.
Shop and save.
Yeah, shop and save.
Oh, okay.
That's
when
another
I'm not,
one.
When, I'm
when
not...
you're not the voice,
yeah.
Or do people recognize you when you're kind of walking in a grocery shopping? Like,
no,
wait.
Voice for the commercials for Shop and Save.
Yes.
Okay.
For a long time. And then they moved on, and I was in a Giant Eagle. Well, this actually was during that time. I was in a Giant Eagle cheating on my client. Well, there was none near me.
Yeah.
And the woman at the checkout said, I know your voice. And all I said was like, hello, or whatever. And I said,
she was like,
and I was thinking, Penguin, it's got to be.
Yeah.
She said, do you do commercials for us? And I said, no. She said, no, you do. Absolutely. I said, no, I. She said, do you do commercials for someone else like us? And I said, yeah.
That's a
client,
crazy person.
That
is your
client,
wife.
No. That client found out about that story.
Oh.
And I don't know how. They were like, next time I went to a recording session, they said, so you shop at Giant Eagle. And I was like,
God.
How does this all come to pass? So I never found out why. And it wasn't
That's
why
crazy.
I lost it.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
my God.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but so I do local commercials like that. I voice documentaries on Discovery and History. So shows like Fast and Loud and Garage Rehab and Treasure Quest, Snake Island, and all these reality shows.
Yeah.
And I sit in my basement all the time and talk to myself. That's
so Rush Hour is a beast for you because you get up, walk downstairs, what do you do?
Truly the most miles I've ever put on my car happened within the last hour and a half. Because I don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? Rush Hour is a flight of stairs and maybe a dog gets in the way.
Okay.
51?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's 51 because there are 51 lights every four blocks.
Yeah.
Do you think it's worse than six per Manny's
on
the way here? I didn't even know there was six per Manny's.
That's really funny.
And you need them. Like Bubba said, you need them because you have to eat.
Well, but who wants to stop? Because once you stop, then you have to get back
That's
on.
A good point.
Nobody wants to do that.
So, you do the Penguins, and everybody certainly knows that. And how does something like that come about in your career? I mean, that has to be like, you're a hometown guy, and you get to be the guy.
Because you're a hockey guy.
Right?
Yeah.
So I...
I'll take you back to almost birth. It won't be that long a story.
Because you're only 14.
Right. My dad was a writer for the Beaver County Times and was assigned the Penguins in 1971, I think. I was born in 72. So first 3 years of my life, or 2 years of my life, he was the beat writer for the Beaver County Times for this team called the Penguins. It was only in existence for a few years at that time. So I literally grew up with the Penguins. Like, as a kid, I would run home when the Pittsburgh Press was still a paper.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you would get the Post-Gazette in the morning, the Press came in the afternoon. I would race home so I could cut out pictures from the game from the night before. So they were all over my wall. So when the opportunity came up, and I heard, you know, you and I play old man hockey.
Yes.
There was a guy in the 30 and over league at RMU, Larry Mercurio, who also plays forward.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Larry, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
He found it in a blog and said, I saw that the Penguins are looking to hire an assistant public address announcer.
Can
now, I had just been fired from the radio station 6 or 7 months previous to this opportunity. The Penguins just won the cup in 09. So I get the opportunity. I get a phone. Well, I just applied online to NHL.com and got a call. They said, come down and audition in August in the igloo, 9,000 degrees inside the building, no lights on. And they said, you know, come down, be prepared to do some announcing. And so I did it. And the scoreboard was real low, like low enough that if you were standing ice level, you could like touch it. So I don't know if they were doing maintenance or whatever, but that's all I could see. But as they walked me out, and one of the first question they asked was, how many games have you been a public address announcer for? And I said, do you mean high school, college, all of, they said, yeah. And I said, well, zero. And they said, zero. I said, I've never done this before. I said, I'm a washed up radio guy, voice guy. And, so I know it's on film somewhere. They have that reaction because they were recording me, but all I knew was there was a guy on a camera, guy asking me questions. And then I did some announcing, but as they walked me down, I could now see on the other side of the scoreboard and I could see white shirts and ties. And so now I know that there's other people in the arena. And I said, are they having a meeting over there? What are they doing? So they're listening. I said, well, who's listening? And he starts rattling off all these upper management people from the Penguins. So I'm aware of their names. Many of them I'd never met before. And he said, maybe Mario's over there. I don't know. And I said, maybe Mario was over there the whole time while I was doing it. I said, oh my gosh. Well, as he finishes telling me that, he has a walkie talkie on his hip and it says something like, the next guy is here ready to do his thing. And I thought, well,
did they really say that the next guy is here to do his thing?
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
He may have done his thing before that.
She's very literal. She's very literal. She's an investigative reporter.
No. So I get downstairs and the next guy is standing there.
Uh-huh.
And, so I shake the gentleman that walked me down. I shake his hand and I said, thank you for not telling me that Mario was listening because that would have messed me up.
So you screwed the other guy.
Good. Are you from the north
that's
side?
Good.
My dad is.
Good.
So I, and so I found out later that it didn't go well for that guy.
I love
Ryan. That is the best story. Yeah. That takes
over.
And then a couple days later, I got the job.
Yeah. Did
now,
you used
so
to work
my
for
first
the FBI?
Game, my first game ever was bringing out the, I brought out the cup, lowered a brought out the team. The cup came out and that's my first game. It was raining so hard that the water was coming through the seal of the arena and dripping
my
on my
God.
Head.
Oh,
and it
my
was
God.
Craziness.
Oh,
and
my God.
John Barbaro never came back because he was sick.
Get out of town. Yeah, I
so
love that story. Yeah. That is a great story.
Wow.
Are we the first ones to ever get you to tell that story publicly?
No. Sure. Let's say
sure.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah, let's say
I
yes.
I didn't feel rehearsed at all, did it?
His sense of humor is so good.
That's the first time on this podcast that story
is Dad is from the north side?
My dad's from the north side, yeah.
What part do you know? Because you obviously didn't grow up there.
I didn't. I grew up in McCandless. I was in North Hills. He was
Manchester.
A little bit. They moved houses when the rent was due. Is how he would.
I love it.
They moved once when my uncle was at Slippery Rock. He came home on break for Christmas. Went to his house and there was no one there. And his aunt lived next door. And he said, "Where are they?" He said, "Oh, they moved to the new house." They didn't even tell him. That they had moved up the street
because
they were running away from another landlord. So,
that's great. Isn't it crazy?
Oh, my God. Now, we are like to go to like, what's the day in the life of? Because people just think you show up, you read some stuff, or whatever. Now, I've been up there in that really high level thing during game night, right? So, do you even get to see the game and focus on the game at all? Because there are always people talking in your ear. This is like a TV production where there's people talking in your ear. Next thing is next. They'll go to the script, right? No.
Okay. So, the first year in the new building.
Okay.
Which at that time was Consol. I had everyone in my ear. So I had cameramen and just everyone, stage managers. And it was too much. And I finally told my kind of my producer, I said, I just need me and you in my head. That's it. I didn't want off-ice officials. I didn't want any of that other stuff.
Okay.
So they got me a spotter who sat next to me. So the off-ice officials would talk to him. He'd write on a whiteboard, whatever, you know, the penalty, the goal, whatever happened. Cause I'm not the guy deciding who scored that goal. I've got to get it from an official who's, you know, 100 yards down the way in the arena, calls it over. So mostly the only thing in my head is normally me, and that's plenty.
Okay.
Yeah, that's plenty. Okay. But, and then my producer.
So, so you do get to enjoy a little bit of the game.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a fan that they gave a microphone to. So yeah. I just get to geek out.
Would it be the same story if it were football, if it were baseball?
No, I wouldn't have.
Okay.
Done.
Really?
Oh, is that right?
I wouldn't have applied.
Okay. That's a really good question, Rach. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good job, Rach. That was really great.
Thank you. Now you're all patronizing.
No, I ask. No. Tim DeBacco, who was the Pirates announcer, is the organist at the Penguin game. So he sits right next to me.
Yes.
And Larry Richard now is the Steelers. But when I did, I think it was, Randy Cosgrove, I think, was the Steelers. But if either one of those jobs had come up, I wouldn't have been interested.
It wouldn't have been a thought. Sure.
I'm a fan of both teams, but
it's not your thing.
Penguins are a team. You know, they always were.
I got it.
So it was a passion project more than anything else. Sure. I mean, I'm not making $1 million working for the Penguins.
Right. Yeah.
I love
you. You work for the Penguins. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, half a million.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Enough money to have gas to come down to Ross Draver.
Yeah, I can't get home. Thankfully, there's a house for sale a couple doors down. I'm just going to squat. I saw it. I was like, and I'm sure that'll sell easily because people are just driving by all the time in the middle of nowhere.
Here, Ross Draver. Oh, my God.
Well, they were making fun earlier that this is Egypt, and the Sphinx is right over there.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Listen, if we changed gears from the whole Pens thing, because obviously that's your, you know, claim to fame, but you were Melanie and Bubba's boss, and we didn't let you come in and talk while they were talking. So give us a really good story on them. You got to have some kind of dirt.
Yeah, I have plenty of dirt.
Plenty of dirt.
Well, Bubba, even after I was Bubba's boss, and Bubba was at the station before I was, I started after Bubba as an intern and just kind of worked my way up.
Okay.
But he was the announcer for the Pittsburgh Power.
Yes.
At the arena.
Right. Yeah.
Power?
Bubba. The arena football.
What was the arena football team's name?
Pittsburgh Power! Thank God we got that.
So he was doing that into the same headset that I wore at the Penguin game. So it would be like a game later and I could smell Bubba on my headset.
Ryan Mill lies.
You could smell Bubba.
I was like, I can smell Bubba on my head. So I made the engineer get a new headset for Bubba. I'm like, just give Bubba his own head. I don't want to have to smell Bubba all the time.
I say that sometimes too, right, Colin? I'm like, I just don't want to smell John, especially after Kabasi and driving.
That would be good. Yeah, right.
Go ahead.
No. So
I don't want to. There's no stories that I can tell that are family friendly.
But the radio business is crazy, right? I mean, when you're in radio, you know you're going to get fired. It's just inevitable. You're getting fired from something, right?
And listen to us on radio.com on Monday.
Yeah. No, I mean that's. Yes. But in Pittsburgh, it does seem a little different.
So I have a weird career in that I started in radio when I was 14.
Oh wow!
In a station in Greensburg.
Okay.
A friend of my dad's owned a little radio station, and. He gave me a tour on a Saturday. I was friends with his son, and he said, pretty neat, huh? I said, yeah, I want to work here. So he hired me. And so I would work. I traveled from McCandless to Greensburg, whether it was a parent driving me or he drove me, or by the time I got my license when I was 16, I stayed there until I was in college, and I would run Saturday or Sunday polka shows.
Yeah.
And then they had an FM station I would do overnights, and it was a blast. And that's what started my itch.
Okay.
I was like, I'm going to do this the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And so from 14 until 37 or whatever, I did like
wow.
that. I just worked it. I went to Pitt and worked at their radio stations, but I continued working in Greensburg, got an internship at B94, continued working there. Then K-Rock and all those, those different iterations of the radio station, stayed through all of those. And finally on the second launch of B94, I was there for about a year. They decided we were all making too much money. A lot of management folks, they cut 7 of us. I was one to go. And the only thing I wanted to know was, did any of my people get let go? And they said, no. I said, all right, I'm good. I had a severance. I was fine. I was going to be, I just didn't want these guys.
Yeah, right.
It's harder for them to find a job in that same market because they would have non-competes.
Sure.
So it's not like they could go across the street to another radio station.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, well, they did from B to Star, but that's in the family. So that was no problem.
Yeah.
But radio, you haven't been in radio unless you've been fired.
Yeah.
But my whole career was here.
Yeah.
So when they let me go, I was like, I'm never going back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to be a voice guy. I had already had a studio in the house and I knew what I wanted to do. I just needed the kick. If they hadn't, I'd still be yelling at these guys every Tuesday in a meeting. Like, I needed someone to tell me it was time to go.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So if it wasn't the Pens, what voiceover would you want to do? I mean, is it, you know, Is it cartoons? Is no, it?
No. I'm not a character voice guy.
No character.
I'm just kind of like I'm just me.
Yeah.
So whether I really enjoy doing like the documentary style, okay, like telling the stories of like for the Penguins, I do In the Room, and I enjoy
narration.
Kind of, yeah, I love yes. it. Yes. Because I love telling the story, and the writer for the Penguins is exceptional. His name's Leo McCaffrey, and he came from NFL Films prior to that. So he's got a great sense of timing, and I don't even see the programs until they air. So I'm just reading, and all I have is his notes, and it normally plays out perfectly because he's really good at telling me what to expect.
Hmm.
But I really enjoy that. And then okay. I do the screaming spots and all those other things. But yeah, I think that's just.
Can you pick up and read? Do you have to sort of, you know, Rachel can pick up and read like right there. I have to read it three times before.
No, I
can
pick up and read, and that's yeah. from radio days.
I was just going to yeah. say, okay. I'm a newspaper person, so I think that's just the craft, right?
Yeah, it's a rip and read. Yeah. For commercials that we would do after, you know, when I was on the air,
yeah.
we just run on. You have 10, 15 minutes to do a commercial, no time to pour through it.
Yeah.
Now, for big clients and things that I know that.
Sure.
Then yeah, I'm gonna go over yeah. like a narration project. I'm yeah. certainly not gonna read
right.
the first time on yeah. on tape
right.
Or whatever.
Tape. You know what you meant, tape.
That's on tape. The
real
machine.
Tape right now. Yeah.
So yes, so I but I could. I mean, I for all the Penguin games, like
yeah.
I just the script okay. there and I
yeah.
I just okay. read them all.
Listen, you did pretty well.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You really did. Yeah. yeah.
God, we're probably going to hire you as an announcer for the
Level. Let's record this for, the, for real.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
There's a good right. chance right. you have a career in this. Oh, I feel
good.
It. Yeah. I feel
good
it.
To hear.
Listen, we are so grateful that you could come on. I know you get to go on Bubba and Melanie as well. And obviously, you're going to like us better. But we have a question no of the doubt. Day. We have a question of the
He's
day.
He's never fired us.
No. That's true. So we said.
Never fired Bubba.
You know,
that's true.
Labor Day is the unofficial end of summer.
Yep.
What do you want to put an unofficial end to in your life? You want me to tell you what I said? COVID.
Okay, yeah, that's easy.
Right, easy.
He said this podcast.
Yeah, he's looking over there. There's something coming. There's something coming.
I think the Wendy Bell Show. I think that's a good thing.
Okay.
I know
okay.
you guys are like,
no.
we'll be cutting that out because yeah. this is
no,
not hey, a con property. But
I mean,
I think the time's up.
Okay.
She said everything she needed to say, right?
Yeah.
I think we're good.
I love it.
I love
Ryan Mill, where does everybody find you online?
Oh, online.
Not that you need them to, but why yeah. not, right?
RyanMill.com is my website. Yeah. Twitter is @RyanMill. And I don't do Instagram because
it's not your typical really? Pittsburgher. Don't go Ryan Mills.
It's not Mills.
I was gonna say no.
It's not Giant Eagles and Walgreens.
It's not Giant Eagles. It's not Zayers. It's
not. Oh my gosh, Zayers.
What was it? What were some of the other ones? Pappins. It's not. It's none of those.
Right.
It's just Mills.
And Sally Mills. Wiggins doesn't.
It is so awesome.
Sally Wiggin. And have you had Sally Wiggin on?
No. Yeah, we did actually. Yeah, from the movie. Yeah, the premiere thing. Yeah. Yeah, the movie.
She is.
Yeah. Oh, she's a riot.
Oh,
but it's been a while.
Yeah.
So
what a hoot she is.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
I hear you.
I have a good story I'll tell you off air about that. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Ryan Mill, thank you so much. We really appreciate that you even drove
Ashley?
All the way down here. Cool.
Wow.
So thank you to Ryan Mill for being
no
our guest.
Yeah.
Thank you for Bubba and Melanie for having us at Melanie's house.
Yes. And Bubba doesn't live here, but he's kind of part of it.
Right. He very rarely comes here, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. And Jason as well for being so hospitable. And thanks to our sponsors, you know, J&D Waterproofing, as well as Ernie Ritchie's Sausage, Mary Mac Bakehouse. We did not talk about Mary Mac.
Oh, right.
She's one of our faves. She will actually send a care package here full of baked goodies. So thanks to her. To Fathom Hot Sauce, because they're going to try a few of different things so they can get a taste for what Fathom is all about. And to Taddy Bogle Cider. Yeah. So they were all great to help with our sponsored porch tour.
And thanks to Michael Campagno for coming on as well.
Yeah.
That's going to be super good. So make sure you sign up.
And to the AGT folks that we met, they just drop AGT like it's nothing.
Right. J&D Waterproofing, thanks as well. And of course, Rory Conda.
Rorik Honda celebrates Labor Day by transferring vehicles. It may not be all the usual holiday bells and whistles, but the showroom is in need of more product. So it's time to fill up with a transfer from the warehouse that houses CRVs, Odysseys, Fits, and more.
I was watching Ashley. Every day is labor intense for Rorik Honda as they work hard to get customers the perfect model, color, and sanitized vehicle quickly. Thank a Honda rep and enjoy a holiday hot dog. As always, visit Rorik.com for all of your vehicle needs.
Who's always there when I need you? Saving every day. Who always comes to my rescue?
but you're perfect all the same. The way you hold us together, keep us safe, safe and secure. There might be a ring on my finger, but I'll still be wearing your smile. Not a cell could ever replace you. That's the one thing I know for sure. You'll always be my hero. You're